Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it. I want y'all.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 165 degrees Fahrenheit. To keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Diana? Is it working?
Oh,
can you
yes.
feel it?
Oh, yeah. I can totally feel it. Yep.
Yep. I am Mr. Michael.
Feeling it.
I'm Mr. Michael Dean, and Diana Kyler is feeling it. Are you feeling
I'm feeling it.
You really feeling it? You sound like Fat Albert. Hey, I'm feeling it. Yeah. So, earlier this week, we had an interesting test. It was, I was sick. I'm feeling better now. But it was a test of the new FiendPhone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries. And
Furries.
The Furries is the non-government voluntary equivalent of the emergency alert system that the government has. You know, the thing where like Obama can take over all the radio and TV and phones if he wants to declare martial law or something. Mm-hmm. So FiendPhone has something like that, but it's only for fiends. I cannot interrupt other people, but Derek J and Davi and young Nick Hazelton, the yak farmer, mm-hmm. the 16-year-old yak farmer, were doing a show. And all of a sudden, I just blurted in. I was just like, this is the central scrutinizer. And I just interrupted their show. And, you know, I'm working towards phasing myself, not out, but way down in my active participation of being on air 7 nights a week. Because, you know, I'm not a young pup, and I want to pass the torch, but I still want to like oversee it. I want to be the
you're fitty.
I want to be the control freak behind the curtain and run my show without being on it much. But I want to be able to be on it whenever I want to. So that was a test.
Well,
it is
your show.
It is my show. Yeah. And it's it's okay to be a control freak when people volunteer to be in your control freakdom kingdom. So. I am.
Is that what I did?
I've drafted you for the libertarian mental militia, but it's I am the libertarian emperor of the world. That's me.
Yay!
For anyone that wants to be control freaked by me. All right, so Diana, you wanted to talk about liberty and freedom. On the other hand, so go ahead.
I do. I came across this
boring. So boring.
Boring.
I want to talk about cats and bunnies and pot.
We can totally do that.
I don't smoke pot, but apparently the government's afraid that if pot's legal, bunnies will be stoned. But we'll get to that later. So go on. And you have a bunny. Oh, so you should be concerned, Diana. Think of the bunnies.
I think she'll be fine.
All right. Tell me about this liberty thing. I'll talk about current
this liberty
events.
Liberty thing. Okay. So I came across this article on Twitter yesterday. So supposedly this guy goes down to Honduras. And he claims he used to be a libertarian, and he goes down to Honduras.
How can you be an ex-libertarian?
I don't know, because I think he was never really a libertarian to start with.
That's what they say. That's what what Christians say, is that if you're born again and then you become a non-Christian, you never really were born again right.
Yeah.
So I think that's true with liberty.
Considering the way he describes libertarianism, I it's like that's not any kind of libertarianism I'm a party to, you know. So it's like,
well, what is his idea? Don't bury the lead, Diana. This is a teaching hospital.
Yeah, so he's totally not, you know, he this article that I was referencing is about another article, which is on Salon. And this article is written by, I know. Okay, so this article is written by this guy named Edwin Lingar, or Lingar. I'm not exactly sure how to
pronounce it. I'm uploading giant files. That's what's happening here. But go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. So.
you should not so do that might, when running FiendPhone. Everyone should know
no,
that.
No, especially considering that I closed everything that I have going on off.
Yeah, well, I have two internet connections, and they should stay separate, but sometimes they cross over because I have a router that picks the fastest one. So that's a teaching
Don't
hospital.
Don't cross the streams.
Don't cross streams, people, with Fiend Phone. Can I get Fiend Phone for a stream cross? Thank you. All right, so tell me what kind of faux libertarian this guy was.
He's trying to debunk libertarianism based on his experience on a vacation to
people
Honduras.
Think they're so clever with debunking mm-hmm. things. Like a lot of things, you know, you can, what is it? There's lies, statistics, and damn statistics or something like that.
Yeah.
It's anything can be cherry picked.
No, it's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah. Anything can be cherry picked. Anything can be cherry picked to, present any, find your conclusion and then work backward. That's not science.
Right.
It's really not.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so he goes down to Honduras and considering he seems to be aware that this place.
Well, it kind of is science. Let me correct that. It is science if you do it right. But if you do it with discarding data that does not support your thesis, as a lot of people do who think they're scientists.
Confirmation bias.
Yep. Okay.
So that's pretty much what he's doing. He's deciding that Honduras is a place that is going to support his idea of what libertarianism is, which is kind of ridiculous.
With all these people trying to go to South America, to like communist and socialist countries to try to find liberty? What is the deal with that, man?
I don't understand. Yeah. Anyway, so his idea of libertarianism is that you know, he's like, yeah, I used to be. I subscribe to this system of discredited ideas. Selfishness is good. Selfishness is good. Government is bad.
Oh, he sounds like an Ayn Rand fan. The selfishness is good. That's not us, man. Yeah. We don't like selfishness.
No, I know. Yeah, he's mistaking Ayn Rand for libertarian ideology. But he says, take what you want, when you want, and however you can. Poor people deserve what they get, and the smartest, hardworking people always win. So get yours before someone else does. It's like, you know, if that was what libertarian, if I thought that's what libertarianism was, I would not be a libertarian. So So he basically, you know, he looks at Honduras as this lib pair kind of situation.
Libertarian paradise. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not. And this article from Target Liberty, who was written by Robert Wenzel, you know, he completely, you know, debunks this guy's like attempt at debunking libertarianism and talks about how Honduras is far from being a libertarian country, you know, based on, you know, several facts like that. The, you know, it's 116th on the Freedom Index put out by Heritage. You know, I mean, it's, you know, they don't enforce a lot of stuff down there, but they have so many terrible regulations that don't allow people to start businesses. So it's like, there's nothing privatized there. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, it's not.
Well, privatized is a mistaken term. You mean everything's public there? Like
everything's
owned
there.
By the public. Yeah. Kind of like they did with the internet last week. You know, the FCC basically took over the internet. Nothing's changed yet, you know, in our internet ability. But basically, it was kind of like the Obamacare thing. It was like, you have to sign the bill to see what's in it. And it wasn't even a bill. It was just a pack of regulations that they did not open up to the public. And it's kind of funny because the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, who I've always thought were champions of liberty, really backed this net neutrality thing. And then as soon as it was passed, they said, well, it might be a Trojan horse. Who knows what it's going to do? And I'm like, come on, you guys, make up your mind. You think? Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's basically it's the government saying that they need to regulate the internet like a utility, which, oh man, that could really go bad.
Yeah.
So go on.
So this, I mean, it's just really frustrating. I mean, he talks about like how, you know, that sure, you eliminate all taxes, privatize everything, load a country up with guns, and oppose all public expenditures. You end up with Honduras.
Yeah.
I mean, where is he getting this from?
That's nothing to do with liberty, man. Nothing to do with liberty.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and he talks about it being really dangerous there. And not only that, you know, he talks about it being really dangerous, but he brings his four young children on vacation there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, claims he read Ron Paul's The Revolution.
Which was actually, you know, I heard a rumor that Ron Paul's books were all largely ghostwritten by Tom Woods. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Yeah. I've heard that a lot of his stuff was ghostwritten, but I have a lot of respect for Tom Woods too. And this is actually,
I do accept when he's talking about AA because he's totally wrong on it. But other than that, yeah.
I've never heard him talk about AA, yeah. So I have no idea. What does he say about AA?
He had a guy on that was debunking AA with facts and figures that were all wrong. and the guy was rightfully condemning the what I call the recovery industrial complex, which is a big scam. But the guy actually, yeah, like without saying it, he is a part of that complex, the recovery industrial complex. He's a, you know, Harvard PhD psychotherapist who worked at some Harvard expensive recovery facility and is now a $300 an hour shrink in Beverly Hills recovery counselor to the stars in Beverly Hills. So basically, you know, it's a guy with a lot of moneyed interest in telling people, don't go to that thing in the church basement that costs a dollar. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And is it the same guy that has that treatment center called Passages or something?
No,
like
but
that?
It's the guy who wrote the letter in Salon, in Huffington Post or Salon recently that got shared by a lot of libertarians. Like, see, these facts and figures prove it. And it's like, really? Yeah. Talk about like cherry picking your sources, because it's libertarian sharing. I went to the article and looked at it, and it's like there's ads on that page for another article, like talking about why Hillary Clinton needs to be president to fix America. She's a liar. Awesome. She's a socialist and her feet stink. I'm going to start saying that about her instead of Obama. And the same about Jeb Bush. It's true of all of them. So anyway, I have an announcement. We are on more radio than we were in Florida. And that's a really good thing. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Florida man increases transmitter strength on Fiend Station. Yeah. WSRQ has increased their, in Sarasota has increased their tower to now reach St. Petersburg and Tampa and Manatee. I didn't know there was a place called Manatee. All right. I like manatees, so that's cool. Yeah.
We're going
to break here in a second. You know, Fiend Phone's great because I can interrupt you more. That's someone actually made a donation and said, I love Fiend Phone. I'm donating so Michael can more efficiently interrupt his co-host because it doesn't cut out. It doesn't cut out like Skype.
Awesome.
You got the whole next segment. I will shut up. Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Freedom Fiends. Protecting you from stoned bunny rabbits since 2011. Oh, no. All right, so Diana and I are talking about some guy that says he's a recovering
libertarian.
He's a recovering freedom person. I decided that I didn't want that much freedom. I want more tyranny. So it's really the only two choices. You know, I think that the reason people imagine that somewhere like, South America, like Chile or Honduras or, any of these other countries that, you know, still have governments like disappearing dissidents. Or some country like Vietnam. I know that some like people expat to there for more freedom. And, you know, I think that there is, in a way, if you're a middle class or above economic level American, especially if you have like mailbox money, like you don't have to, you can get your money from anywhere. Like if you do some kind of consulting over the internet or whatever, or do a radio show or do computer programming, you can go live in some third world, you know, ditch and live like a king and probably not be bothered day to day as much as you are in America by the police, by highwaymen. Or Mexico. I know Mexico is really popular. They just had a big, big anarchy party down there, and everybody wants to move to Mexico and buy timeshares there now. You know, the thing is,
I need to stop for a second. Can we stop recording for a second?
Yeah.
I think my dog is eating chicken bones.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll be right back.
I'll just keep talking. So, okay. Let's see. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just call Dr.
What are you guys doing? What are you doing?
Stop recording.
I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Is he okay? Is the dog okay?
Yeah.
Go check on him.
Oh, I did. I mean, whatever she was eating.
Dobby Barker, it's Michael Dean. I'm recording you. How you doing? So a couple comments about the thing you wrote. One is, I can't read the document you sent me because it's DocsX, and I have an older version of Word. Can you export it as a rich text format? It's an option in there. Or just as a like Word 98 or whatever document. One other tip is go into your Word. Do you use Word? Is that your word processor?
No, I'm using Google Documents.
Ugh. Okay. Do you have Word?
I have Word.
Okay. You should put it into Word. There's a lot of cross-platform issues with using Google Documents. Put it into Word, and then make sure that you're setting... Look up how to do this, but make sure that you're setting... And this is important if you're sending stuff to publishers, and et cetera, and agents. There were a bunch of weird characters in the email you sent me. Like, you know, it turns asterisks and quotes and things into, like, garbage characters. Go into your settings in Word and turn off smart quotes. Google how to do that. Turn off smart quotes. And then send it to me as a Word document, please. And then two things. One is where you said, let's see, there was a really funny misspelling. And this kind of goes along with what we were talking about needing a second pair of eyes on things. You said that the contributed very little to the arraignment. The arrangement. You put arraignment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And... And then the other thing is the last line of it. I would take out the "I'm anxious to learn what the role of a literary agent is." You should don't sound that naive in a letter to an agent.
Okay.
So do all that and send it back to me. And it's pretty close to done. But I just want to make sure too you don't send her things that have weird characters in them like that. So turn off smart quotes in Word, paste this into it, and then fix those two things, and then send me a Word document I can open, please.
Okay.
All right, got to run.
Just send you a text file. Can you open that?
Well, when you sent it in the email, it had the problem too. You may have to search and replace all of them in Word to make them be normal after changing it so it doesn't have smart quotes. Like just have like change quote to quote, single quote to single quote, and double quote to double quote. You should always write stuff in Word, not Google Docs that you're going to send to people, because it always ends up with these weird characters that mess everything up and look really amateur. All right, gotta run, do the show. And that was the Freedom Fiends Teaching Hospital. Rebecca Dean and Dobby Barker. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
I'm good. Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiend, talking to Diana Kyler, talking about people who think they're recovering libertarians. See, we have this theory that if you're really a libertarian, you can't go back because if you're really a libertarian, you've conceded to your innermost heart of hearts that all government in every country throughout history basically exists on theft, fraud, aggression, murder, and threats of same and theft. I said theft twice because they really like theft. like theft. That's a Blazing Saddles joke. Okay.
Theft and more theft.
Theft. And you put theft twice. The government likes theft. All right. So we're talking about how people get this delusion that, you know, certain communist and socialist countries can be libertarian paradises because it's cheap to live there. And there aren't nearly probably as many police, or they're more bribable, or they're too lazy, or they don't care, or they're on the take, so they might not bug you as much. But if they bug you, you're probably in worse situation than in America. If you get, you know, if they really want to mess with you, they can disappear you a lot easier than here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the examples he uses as it being, you know, a libertarian, I guess, nightmare kind of thing is how people are fixing, private citizens are fixing potholes in the road. And asking for tips because they fix the potholes in the road.
I like it.
And I think that's kind of awesome. Like, if the government, that they're paying taxes to, which I don't think that they collect very much in the way of taxes there. But, if the government's not going to do it, somebody's got to do it, you know, and it's like that to me just kind of shows, you know, that people will step up and do what needs to be done, you know, and so what if they're asking for tips? You know, I think that's a really good thing.
Well, there's a lot of places in America where there are potholes and roads are horribly unmaintained. And I've heard news stories recently of, you know, citizens going out and fixing the pothole on the street on their block and then getting fined for it. And then the city coming out and digging it up and then sending them a bill for it. So, you know, I kind of think it's preferable in a way to have a system where, you know, you can just fix it and put out a donation box or something. But overall, I'm not moving to Honduras anytime soon, or Mexico, or Chile, or Vietnam.
It's not. I mean, Honduras is not a libertarian paradise by any stretch.
The thing is, too. Okay, two things. One is the word privatized is used wrong everywhere. Like this guy's saying, oh, this is a libertarian paradise because they've privatized everything and everything's broken. When a government privatizes something, they don't give it to the free market. They basically sell the monopoly to one of their buddies. That's not the same thing as something being entirely private to begin with, or even being turned over to the free market. Because in the free market, there will be competitors to do it better. You know, if there's a monopoly enforced by the government, you know, I would say even like, you know, they always say like, without the government, the trash would be piled high in the street. In Los Angeles, when I lived in Los Angeles, which is one of the most statist nanny cities in America.
Nanny city.
You literally have, or outside of LA, in LA County, but not in the city of LA, you have your choice. They've kind of privatized the garbage there, but not in a really terrible way. Like there's basically three companies you can pay a bill monthly to take your garbage away. And it's pretty cheap, man. And they do a good job. So governments don't have to do everything. they don't need to do anything. Yeah. But
They don't need to do anything. And usually when they do something, I said do.
You can say it on radio.
When they do something, it you know, it's generally like way too much red tape, and you know, having
too much murder.
Go to this office and that office and fill out this paperwork and blah 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 blah, and you know, it takes forever to get anything done.
You know, I'll say something too about any of these, like move to the socialist paradise of Uruguay and, you know, start a libertarian paradise with a bunch of other rich people. My theory, and this hasn't been tested yet because all of these have failed. They haven't really gotten to the point of people actually moving there. You know, people have invested money and it's disappeared in several of them down in South America. And there's a new one starting up that I've talked to the guy and he seems like a nice guy. I wish him luck, but none of them have really done it yet to the point where there's an example, you know, of any number of people, or a decent number of people that's actually a community rather than just a couple people living, three people living down there. Here's what I think. If you built up a community and made it great and poured millions of dollars and, you know, had dozens of people working on it, I think one of those countries or the local warlords would just come take it once you made it really nice. That's my theory. All right, so go on.
That's not good.
I'm done interrupting.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty fired up about this, and really, I just read it not that long ago, and so it's I don't know. It's just infuriating.
Tell me more.
He talks about it being it being like the Lord of the Flies. He says the closer you get to totally untamed, uncontrolled privatization, again using that word incorrectly, the nearer you approach Lord of the Flies.
Well, you know, Lord of the Flies is often used by smarter critics of the government. Dumb critics of the government just say, "What about the roads?" Or grandma would starve, or children would be working in whorehouses, which, you know, even under the government, like children are working in whorehouses, grandma's starving, and the roads are messed up. But, you know, that's the dumb people's response. The people who've read a little bit or want to pretend they've read a little bit say, like, without the government, it'd be like Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies was written by a statist as a defense for the need of government. So it's fiction, it's fantasy. It's also children. Mm-hmm. There's no adults there. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't doubt necessarily that a bunch of kids, young teen boys who grew up in a statist environment would act like the state in the absence of parents or family or school or anybody, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. He says these questions about how best to provide a good society are not being asked in Honduras, but they are also ignored in the United States as a matter of routine. We have growing income inequality and government is being ever more controlled by a few extremely wealthy political donors. Yeah, I definitely see that as a problem. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a problem.
But there's no government solution to that. There's no
law
you can pass to make government behave. And there's no...
No, I know.
There's no party that's going to be less tyrannical than the other party.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, so he got his libertarianism. It sounds very clearly he got it from Ayn Rand, you know, and I read Ayn Rand as in my early 20s and really appreciated it in a way. But it didn't stick, you know, it was like there was just too much, like you said, there was too much selfishness. There was too much, basically let everybody everybody does, need to contribute and they need to fend for themselves to a certain degree. But, you know, I don't think that's not what libertarianism is about. It's about people, you know, and the free market basically answering the problems that we have with a lot of different solutions and, you know, which the government does not have. And, But I'm just really infuriated by this guy.
It seems to be a really favorite kind of link baity blog post these days to write a unified theory of why libertarians are wrong. I mean, I've seen 1,000 of those, or I've seen at least 100 of those in, you know, 40 different magazines and blogs. And the funny thing is, like, even mainstream people do them, like, you know, Daily Show, Jon Stewart will do like 10 reasons libertarians are wrong, or 10 things, I think he did something called 10 questions libertarians can't answer. And somebody pointed out recently that, like, every time somebody does that, the next day, like 100 libertarians answer all those questions correctly.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's never really been done right. It's been done funny a few times. John Scalzi did it really funny. But he did it to libertarians, Republicans, and Democrats in the same article. It was called "I Hate Your Politics No Matter What" by John Scalzi.
Yeah.
We haven't read that on the show in a while. I think maybe we should.
Yeah.
It kind of has to be cleaned up on the fly for radio. But that guy did it right. That guy was funny. He's about the only person I can think of that's ever done it right.
John Scalzi.
Yeah. Did you find it?
I don't know how to spell his last name.
Okay. I'll send it to you. I think we should just read this. It's really the only one that's done well. And I would say that, that this article, you know, no matter who writes it, it's the same article, the unified theory of why libertarianism won't work. It's such a cliche now that it's kind of like an article in 1996 called "The Internet, the Future is Now." Like, there were 100 articles called that or some variation of that, you know?
Right.
In everything from like Time magazine to like, you know, teachers in local schools standing up and writing that on the blackboard and let's discuss. And, you know, it always had a real kind of like cursory, not deep, not really, you know, not really getting it, like not really getting the spirituality of the connectivity of the internet, which I got like as soon as I got on it, like when everybody else was trying to figure out like how to sell dog food over the internet and pumping money into, things that failed. I was working in those companies that failed, but I was like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. This is going to be bigger than this. I knew it. All right. So did you get this article?
John Scalzi? Sure.
All right. I'm going to just have you read this for the next two or three segments if you want, cause I need to rest my voice. I'll laugh a lot though.
Okay. All right,
and just clean up the cussing. You can say brothels though. So go ahead.
Okay. Brothels is okay.
Yeah. I already said it.
All right. I said, okay, so this article is called "I Hate Your Politics" by John Scalzi. And it starts off, "I hate your politics. No, I don't know what they are. And no, I probably don't know who you are either. Really, those two points are immaterial. No offense. As it turns out, about 46% of you are liberal, 46% of you are conservative, and the rest of you just want your guns, drugs, and brothels. Here in the U.S., we call them folks libertarians." "Each of you carries baggage from your political affiliation, and all of that baggage has a punky smell to it, like one of your larger species of rodent crawled in and expired in your folded underwear. Listening to any of you yammer on about the geopolitical situation is enough to make one want to melt down one's dental fillings with a beeswax candle and then jam an ice pick into the freshly exposed nerve just to have something else to think about." That's awesome. Yeah. "It's not so much the politics brings out the worst in people than it is that the worst in people goes looking for something to do, and that usually ends up being politics. It's either that or setting fires in trash cans."
All right, we'll be back with more after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, this is the Freedom Fiends, and I'm taking a little break here from Yak, and Diana's reading from I Hate Your Politics by John Scalzi, which was written in 2002, but it's as true now as it was ever was. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I love it. In the spirit of fairness and of completeness, let me go down the list and tell you what I hate about each major branch of political thinking. Liberals.
Boo.
The stupidest and weakest members of the political triumvirate. They allowed conservatives to turn their name into a slur against them.
Liberals.
Exposing them as the political equivalent of the kid who lets the school bully pummel him with his own fists. Stop hitting yourself. Liberals champion the poor and the weak, but do it in such condescendingly bureaucratic ways that the ill-educated
Cleti.
So funny. Would rather eat their own shotguns than associate with the likes of them. Famously humorless and dour, probably because for a really good liberal, everything is political, and you just can't joke about things like that. Defensive and peevish, even when they're right. Under the impression that that people in politics should play fair, which is probably why they get screwed as often as they do. NB 2000 presidential election.
Yeah, which George Bush Jeb Bush had something to do with the vote counting, and now he's getting rewarded by having a chance at being president. Oh, that'll go well. Yeah.
Feel guilty about the freedoms their political positions allow them, which is frankly idiotic. Liberals are politically able to have all sorts of freaky mammal sex, but typically don't. Good liberal foreplay is a permission slip and three layers of impermeable barriers. The only vaguely liberal person we know of who seemed to enjoy sex in the last 30 years is Clinton, and look what he got out of it. Fractious and have no sense of loyalty. Sounds a lot like he's describing like a zodiac sign or something.
Yes, that's good.
Fractious and have no sense of loyalty will publicly tear out the intestines of those closest to them at the most politically inopportune times. The attention spans of poultry, easily distracted from large, useful goals by pointless minutiae. Not only can't see the forest for the trees, can't see the trees for the pine needles. Deserve every bad thing that happens to them because they just can't get their act together. Too bad those they presume to stand for get royally screwed as well. Conservatives. Self-hating moral relativists, unless you can convince me that an intellectual class that publicly praises family values but privately engages in sodomy, coke, and trophy wives is more aptly described in some other way. Not every conservative is an old wealthy white man on his third wife, but nearly every conservative aspires to be so, which is a real waste of money, youth, race, and women. Genuinely fear and hate those who are not with them. The sort of people who would rather crap on a freshly baked cherry pie than share it with someone not of their own tribe. Conservatives believe in a government by the oligarchy for the oligarchy, which is why the conservative idea of an excellent leader is Ronald Reagan, i.e., genial, brain-damaged, and amenable to manipulation by his more mentally composed underlings. Under the impression they own the copyright on Jesus and get testy when other political factions point out that technically Christ is in the public domain. Conservatives don't actually bother to spend time with people who are not conservative and thus become confused and irritable when people disagree with them. Fundamentally, can't see how that's even possible, which shows an almost charming intellectual naivete. Less interested in explaining their point of view than nuking you and everything you stand for into blackened cinders before your evil worldview catches on like a virus. Conservatives have no volume control on their hate, and yet were shocked as heck when Rush Limbaugh went deaf. Conservatives clueless enough to think that having Condi Rice and Andrew Sullivan on the team somehow counts as diversity. Pen their thinkers like veal in think tanks rather than let them interact with people who might oppose their views. Loathe women who are not willing to have their opinions as safely shellacked as their hair. Let their sons get caught with a dime bag and see how many are really for zero tolerance. Let a swarthy day laborer impregnate their daughters and find out how many of them are really pro-life.
All right. We'll be back for hour two, where we will be eviscerating libertarians. Yes, that's us.
We're going to
be self-hating, self-loathing libertarians in hour two. Worms.
Worms. This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-education Centers. I almost said Re-indoctrination Center. That's even scarier. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiend Show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. I am your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean. I am talking to Diana Kyler, the laughing kitty. I am the Iron Hamster.
Iron Hamster.
Yep. All right. So we are reading an article from 2002 called I Hate Your Politics by John Scalzi, where he goes through what he hates about liberals, conservatives, and libertarians. And we're libertarians. We're not Libertarian Party people. We're party people, no. But we're not Libertarian Party people.
Libertarian Party people, that's right.
We are Libertarian Party people, but we're not in the Libertarian Party. There's a difference. We are 24-hour party people who are libertarians. ANCAPs, voluntarists, and other that's labels right. that we don't answer mm-hmm. to unless we're late for dinner. All right, so... So we are at the point of the self-loathing. We read the liberal part and the conservative part. We're going to read the Diana's going
to
read.
We're about to make fun of ourselves here.
And it's pretty funny stuff. And we read this about once a year on the Fiends. It's just got to be shared because we have new listeners all the time on radio. So go ahead, Diana.
Okay, so this is what this guy says about libertarians, John Scalzi. Libertarians.
Who's a sci-fi writer, and that's important mm-hmm. for the next section. So go ahead.
Yeah. Libertarians never got over the fact that they weren't the illegitimate children of Robert Heinlein and Ayn Rand, currently punishing the rest of us for it. Unusually smug for a political philosophy that's never gotten anyone elected for anything above the local water board.
Okay, I gotta put an asterisk in here. This is written in 2002. Yeah. That's no longer true because there are like 15 state reps in New Hampshire who are libertarians.
Right on.
Yeah. They're not. I don't know. They're not usually. None of them are Libertarian Party. Some of them are Republicans, and some are Democrats. They kind of go like under whatever it'll take to get elected. But yeah.
Right.
And they're actually changing things. They're rolling back some laws there. So you know, if you're going to believe in that, libertarians can have no influence in politics. In New Hampshire, apparently they can.
Slow and steady wins the race.
And you know, hang on a sec. In 2002, Ron Paul had been a congressman for a while.
That's
so there
true.
Was a U.S. congressman. I mean, I think he's being persnickety here about like Libertarian Party, which is different because Ron Paul is about as libertarian as he's like the only consistent libertarian politician that's ever been at the federal level of the U.S. government. And he was a congressman for, I don't know, 25 years. He stopped for a while and then went back. Yeah, so this is incorrect, but go on. Mm-hmm. And anyway, and this is going to play to the part at the end where he says that I'll bet you thought I was right about the other two, but dead wrong on yours. And see, this is the only one I've like interrupted to correct. So go on. He's right.
Okay. He's right. All right. So anyway, libertarians are all for legalized drugs and prostitution, but probably wouldn't want their kids servicing strangers for crack. all for slashing taxes for nearly every social service, but don't seem to understand why most people aren't at all keen to trade in even the minimal safety net the U.S. provides for 55-gallon barrels of beans and rice, a crossbow, and a first aid kit in the basement. Blissfully clueless that libertarianism is just great as long as it doesn't actually involve real live humans.
And I've heard that argument a lot. And this is the only thing I've ever read it in that makes me laugh to the point where I will read it and take a half hour on my show once a year to read it. So
right on,
John Scalzi.
And
it's the only like critique of libertarianism I've ever seen that also is as scathing about Democrats and Republicans. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like usually it's liberals or conservatives, you know, scathing libertarianism. And this guy just hates it all.
We hate politics. He hates our politics. Yeah, me too. Libertarians blog with a frequency that makes one wonder if they're actually employed somewhere or if they have loved ones who miss them.
Ouch.
Libertarian blogs even more snide than conservative blogs, if that's possible. Socially slow, will assume other people actually want to talk about legalizing hemp and the benefits of a polyamorous ethos, when all these other folks really want is to drink beer and play Grand Theft Auto 3.
That's dated.
That is dated. I know. Libertarianism, the official political system of science fiction authors, which explains why science fiction is in such a rut these days. Libertarians often polyamorous and hope you are too. But also somewhat out of shape, which takes a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Easily offended. Libertarians. I think I know some of the libertarians that he may be talking about. Easily offended libertarians.
No, because the libertarians we're thinking of weren't libertarians in 2002. There's a whole new crop of people that fit all these, stereotypes.
Yeah. Oh, I know. He wasn't specifically talking about them, but this can definitely fit some of the ones I'm thinking about.
Yep.
Easily offended libertarians most likely to respond to this column. The author will attempt to engage subtle wit, but will actually come across as a geeky whiner. Conservatives more schooled in the art of poisonous replies may actually achieve wit. Liberals will reply that they don't find any of this humorous at all. Libertarians secretly worried that ultimately someone will figure out the whole of their political philosophy boils down to get off my property. Newsflash, this is not really a big secret to the rest of us. I'm guessing you thought I was way off on your political philosophy, but right on the button about the other two. Just think about that for a while. That was awesome. I love that.
It really was.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It doesn't apply to me, though.
Oh, not me. No, of course not me. What was that?
Oh, it was me opening my Soda Stream water.
Oh, I thought you laughed so hard like you blew a gasket or something. Yeah.
No.
I actually wrote a song called Get Off My Property after I read this. I was like, that's it. That sums it up, man.
That's it. That kind of does sum it up.
It's actually used in this show. There's an instrumental version of it in this show.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of that show, Trailer Park Boys. Have you ever seen that?
No, a lot of people recommend it to me, but no.
Yeah, it's really funny anyway. So they spend a lot of time saying, get off my lawn. That's my property. Blah, blah, blah.
And why not?
Yeah. And why not?
Yeah.
It's my property. So get off it.
Yep.
Okay, so what next?
I want to talk about statheists.
Statheists, all right.
I sent you a link. It was ffrf.org. Yeah.
Freedom from Religion Foundation.
Yeah, I was at the doctor's the other day, and the only good magazine they had was Scientific American from like 4 years ago. You know how doctor's offices are.
Right.
And there was an ad for the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and there were some prominent scientists endorsing it. And, you know, there's a joke I heard. It's, an atheist, a vegan, and a CrossFit trainer go into a bar. And I only know because within 2 minutes they told everyone in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the CrossFit person was the loudest one.
Yeah. I used to go to an AA meeting in San Francisco called the atheist, anarchist, the atheist, agnostic, anarchist meeting of AA. It was called the 5A meeting. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an atheist, but I kind of didn't like the, like, all the God talk in meetings mm-hmm. when I first started going. Yeah. So, I went to this, you know, atheist, agnostic, anarchist meeting. And first of all, there was nothing anarchist about it. They were all talking about like why the government needed it. It was San Francisco. You know, they just were like punk rockers. So, but it was an atheist meeting, but they ended up talking about their resentment about God. Like the word God was mentioned in that meeting far more than in a normal AA meeting. There's something about atheists. Some atheists make a religion out of it.
Yeah. I agree. It's like that saying, you know, I think it's from Shakespeare that, you know, they protest too much.
The lady doth protest too much.
Yeah. The lady doth protest too much.
Well,
sounds more like a resentment to me than
an
actual belief.
I'm a deist. Deism is basically the belief that there's a creator that pretty much created it and then went away, that it doesn't intervene on a daily basis and does not answer prayers. And before you condemn me as a heathen, any conservatives listening, you should know that your God, Thomas Jefferson, was a deist. And so here's the thing, this thing, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, it's a lot of really smart people. It's a lot of PhDs, a lot of scientists. Their whole thing, their whole goal is keeping religion out of government. And there's a lot of quotes on this site from prominent scientists who say things like, if you keep religion out of the government, I have no problem with anything they do. Like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Like, here's what I'm getting at. Government is a religion. So if you are, there's a word for atheists who love government and think we need more of it, and it's statheists.
Statheists.
They are statist atheists. That's a mouthful of sibilance. Let me wet my whistle and try that again. Statheists. Statist atheists. Yeah. And government is a collective hallucination, and the belief that you need rulers. Here's what I think. I think that belief in government is far more a religion, or even I would say a cult, than religion is, because
I agree. Yeah.
Most religious people I know don't want to force it on others. And some do. Some are pushy about it, but they're not. I mean, I know there are people who like try to force religion on people. And these days, the only way you can do that is through government. You know, I know a lot of religious people, and none of them, and they know I'm not interested in what they're selling, and they don't try to sell to me. And nobody who strongly believes in government feels like that, because government, by definition, if you don't worship it and do its bidding, it will kill you and cage you. You know, it's far more of a religion, of a cult, than religion, and it's backed by guns.
Right.
And there's no other way to look at it. Stupid statheists. I don't care how many PhDs you got. You're stupid. Freedom from Religion Foundation. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
For some reason in this country, and most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow.
So we're going to talk about cats and rabbits and FedEx when we get back.
Yeah.
Back
cats.
Here. We're back.
Oh my.
Here.
All right, cats so, and rabbits and FedEx. Oh my.
I just wanted to say one follow up on the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They actually have a link on their site. Report a state/church violation. Oh, my alarm's going off.
Time to wake up now.
Set for yesterday. All right. All right. So we're going to talk about cats or rabbits. You have cats in front of you, right?
I have cats in front of me. And all this right. is from a website called Take Part. .com.
Oh, is it and Take Part or Take? Is it?
It's called Take Part.
Okay, it's run by Al Gore. I'll say that,
yeah.
And it's a site that's like really hip, and it's for the hip young utes of today. And it has a lot of articles about drones and how cool they are and how they can do cool sciencey stuff and like take pictures inside of a volcano, which is fascinating. It's how I found the site, but it's Al Gore trying to tell you that drones are cool.
Drones
so,
are cool.
So you'll be in favor yeah. of government drones. That's what I think the whole thing's yeah. about. But
yeah, and Al Gore clearly also wants to keep cats from
being
from
cats,
acting like cats,
from being,
from
cats.
Being cats.
Yeah, he wants to make he wants to use nanny enforcement to make cats be less cat like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's never going to happen because cats are the ultimate.
Anarchists.
Yeah, that's yep. right. And our cats.
And our cats.
Okay. Like all right. So anyway, so this article is called "Want to Stop Your Cat from Killing Birds?
No.
Dress it up
I love
like
it.
A clown."
I love it when my cat kills birds.
But this article wants you to dress your cat up like a clown.
I love birds and too, so, but I just when it, yeah. you know, occasionally, like even my 17-year-old cat will go in the backyard and kill a bird and cut its head off and bring it to me
yeah.
As a love offering. You know why they bring you? They bring them to you because you. You know, you go out of the house and you bring them good food and they always have good food. So they think you're a good hunter. So they go out and hunt to reward you and thank you for being a good hunter. And the yeah. reason they remove the heads and the feet is because
it's 'cause they know you can't eat it.
Yeah, because that's not the tasty parts. They're preparing yeah. a meal for you. So when yeah. you walk out in the garage in your bare feet and you slip on the greasy, grimy gopher guts and you fall on your butt, that's your cat telling you it loves you.
Awesome. Anyway, so my cat's an indoor cat, so she doesn't kill birds, but she likes to look at birds and dream about killing birds.
What if you got her a bird?
Oh, God. I've already got too many animals in this house.
I know.
I kind of want a bird, but ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like soon I'm going to be a hoarder. I mean, if I get any more animals, I'm going to be a pet hoarder at that point. So anyway, so this article is about dressing your cat up like a clown to keep it from killing birds. So a biologist finds that putting a bozo collar on felines helps save wildlife. And they have this picture of a beautiful black cat with a silly looking like freaking like Elizabethan collar looking thing.
Like a clown.
Like that's all like striped, looks like a bozo clown kind of thing. But anyway, so this is written by Richard Conniff. I want to make sure, you know, he gets his due. And it starts off, it says, "Stare deeply into a cat's eyes and you'll see the unavoidable truth. It is a sleek, stealthy killing machine." In the United States, outdoor cats kill billions of birds, amphibians, and small mammals every year. Aww. Despite a widespread campaign by environmentalists to persuade people to keep their little killers indoors, many cat owners refuse to do so. A new product from a company called Birds Be Safe won't entirely fix that problem, but it will help. And two scientific studies suggest that it works. It's the sort of collar a clown would wear.
Science.
Brightly colored. Science.
Science.
It's the sort of It's the sort of collar a clown would wear with brightly colored frill sticking out all around, making the wearer much easier to see. messy and avoid.
Does it make noise? Is it like crinkly paper?
No, no. But, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, I thought that's what bells were supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know,
bells are nutty, though. They drive you and the cats nuts.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, so basically the article goes on and it talks about like how, you know, that there's been studies done.
Think of the birds.
Yeah. How, you know, studies have been done that show that when cats wear these collars, far less birds are killed, but it doesn't seem to have the same effect on mammals because the small mammals that they kill because they can't really see colors. So the collar just seems to kind of blend in with the cat.
I think it just humiliates the cat. And
I think so.
Like the way people treat it and maybe other animals treat it, it loses its cat-like instincts.
I know. And this poor cat looks so humiliated. It really does. Stupid thing.
I'm going to use that picture for the show notes for this.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I'm like you. I like birds too. But, you know, it's just like, okay. I mean, can we be any more nanny state-ish than also extending our nanny statism to the
cat
to cats?
Humiliation? Yeah.
Cat humiliation. It's horrible, I mean, can't some mammal in this country be free? I mean, really.
I know. Well, you know, if a domesticated cat and dog are released into the wild, the cat has a much higher chance of living.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're less domesticated. They're still wild beasts we keep in our home, and they would eat us if they were big enough. They really would. That's what I like about them.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Ellum. Ellum. Ellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty. And yes, Diana is calling me on Fiend Phone, which is a VoIP we created that's better than Skype. Well, it's better audio quality than Skype. And yeah. I commissioned a great artist of computer programming, Derek Slopey, to create this for the Fiends. And collaborated.
Yeah, we had dinner with him the other night.
Collaborated with him on it. Oh, well, let's talk about that. People, I've talked about Derek Slopey so much that people listening feel like he's a member of their family. So make him more a member of their family by talking about him. Oh, yeah, is he back in Maine too? Is he back in Maine or is he still there?
Yeah, he was going back yesterday, I believe.
Snowy. So. He might still be taking the dog sled up there.
Yeah. He was down here on business and, since he was here and he had some free time, we met up with him last night or Sunday night. We met up with him for dinner and had a really nice dinner with him. He's a really like interesting, fun person.
You didn't meet him at Port Trust?
No, I did. Yeah, but okay. I didn't really get a chance to talk to him at length. And I did the other night and I asked him about Bangor because that's where he's from. And does he know Stephen King? Of course, everybody asks him that, I'm
sure. Does Stephen King live in Bangor?
Stephen King lives in Bangor. Yeah.
Banger.
Huh. Is it Bangor or Bangor?
Stephen King's a great writer and he's an inveterate socialist.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyway. But we talked about his family and stuff like that. And then he and Christian talked about a bunch of computer stuff.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to change the subject to talk about things that I'm very interested in. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, not that I'm not interested in computers, but I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway,
I wanted to get to the important things like family and love and things like that. So anyway,
girl stuff.
girl stuff, I guess you could say. But I have to call him out on something. He was driving a Jeep that had a Hello Kitty sticker on the back.
Maybe that's to make police laugh and not pull him over.
No, it was actually his one of his business partners, his wife's car. So, yeah. Anyway, I thought it was cute.
I was carrying a pink revolver at Porkfest.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I was carrying it concealed. I was not open carrying it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't embarrassed to open carry it. I'm just too fat to open carry. It's not just that. It's like I really hate wearing a belt. Even back when I was skinny, I hated wearing a belt. Hated it. Hated it. So, and you pretty much can't open carry without carrying a belt, wearing a belt. Or yeah, I guess you can use a shoulder holster. But generally with shoulder holsters, the gun is pointed behind you. So you're basically like muzzle sweeping everybody. I don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can't just walk around with it in your hand?
You probably could at Porkfest. Yeah. I saw a lot of people walking around with rifles in their hands. And
oh, yeah. The one guy with the rifle with the flower sticking out of it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there were pictures of Cody Cubbington, I think is his name, or Cubbington. Uh-huh. Like every article about Porkfest in national magazines this year had a picture of him because he was kind of like the poster boy. He's a cute, friendly looking young man with a mohawk and a shotgun with flowers coming, a loaded shotgun, I think, with flowers coming out of the end of it.
Yeah, if I was 20 years younger, I would be all over that. Totally. But yeah, speaking of Porkfest, I really hope to be able to go this year, but, since I'm in school and I'm working and everything, I'm going to try to figure out how to get there and like spend about the same time there as I did last year, you know, just half a week. And I think I'm also going to, offer, my services while I'm there for Bitcoin and silver. Yeah. And, you know,
I'm making jokes. Yeah. Okay. What are your services?
By then I should be pretty well-versed in providing, aesthetic services like facials and things like that. So ablutions? Ladies, if you're listening,
ablutions.
Yes. Yeah. Ladies or gentlemen, if you care to, you know,
peel.
To be pampered and receive a facial and look beautiful afterwards, then, you know, we'll talk about it.
Cool.
So nice. Anyway, so we're getting ready to talk about bunnies and weed.
Bunnies. You know, we have bunnies all over our yard and it's kind of neat. Like they like our yard because we have lots of things in our yard, like bushes and things where they can hide. And occasionally my wife or I will say to the other, "There's a bun," and we'll both go hug and look out the window at the bunny cowering in the snow.
And you probably have Warrens underground.
Warrens, probably. And then where we moved here from 6 years ago, coming up on 6 years, from Southern California, was in Los Angeles County, but at the periphery of it, like 33 miles from outside the TMZ, outside the 30-mile zone, in Agora Hills, which is in – and we lived on a street called Conejo Drive, which means Bunny Drive. And we lived in – it's not the valley, not the San Fernando Valley. It's one valley over from that. It's called the Conejo Valley, which means the bunny pit in Spanish. And we had so many bunnies in our yard. I mean, it was almost like we were infested. And because of that, there were also a lot of coyotes, like in town,
you know,
like not out in the sticks, like in town. Like about once a month or so, we would hear a pack of coyotes ripping a bunny apart, or a cat in the backyard.
Yeah,
and one time, my cat Charlie got out and was in the mouth of a coyote, and I threw one of those giant flashlights like bouncers carry. Mm-hmm. I threw it at the coyote and yelled, and he dropped Charlie and ran. And we took Charlie to the vet, and Charlie was in shock for 3 or 4 days, but she recovered from it. But then, like, whenever she'd hear a coyote, she'd run to the door like she wanted to go out for a rematch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's when you have to
be. That's interesting.
That's when you have to be the government and intervene and nanny your beasts and say no.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like they're kind of like your kids.
Yeah.
You kind of have to guide them to wise decisions kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's a violation of the non-aggression principle to keep your kids from running out into a pack of coyotes.
No, I think you're right about that. So anyway, so this picture is kind of funny because this picture of this in this article, which is on the WashingtonPost.com, the title of the article is DEA Warns of Stoned Rabbits.
No!
Not stoned rabbits.
Think of the bunnies.
If Utah passes medical marijuana. So this picture of this rabbit looks just like my rabbit.
All rabbits look the same.
I have sworn... well, the thing about it is, though, is that domestic rabbits are supposed to, you know, some of them have spots and they're like, you know, they're all different kind of, you know, they look domestic. I have sworn from the day I got this rabbit that it was a wild rabbit. I believe this is a wild rabbit, that the person I got this rabbit from probably got it as a baby, found it as a baby in their backyard and raised it. But anyway, so, and it's funny because the caption under the picture says the new face of marijuana addiction.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So anyway, so the article says Utah is considering a bill that would allow patients with certain debilitating conditions to be treated with edible forms of marijuana. If the bill passes, the state's wildlife may cultivate a taste for the plant, lose their fear of humans, and basically be high all the time. Sounds pretty good to me. Hey. Anyway, that's according to testimony presented to a Utah Senate panel last week by an agent of the Drug Enforcement Administration. They've got to be kidding me. Seriously? Like, so he says, so this guy who says this says, I deal in facts. I deal in science, says Special Agent Matt Fairbanks, who's been working in the state for a decade. Science. He is a member of the marijuana eradication team in Utah.
Ugh.
Some of his colleagues in Georgia recently achieved notoriety by raiding a retiree's garden and seizing a number of okra plants. Okra.
I remember that.
They're like, this is marijuana.
You know, I had a picture. Somebody sent me a picture of like cops all gooned out in like dropping down a wire from a helicopter to like holding a big bale of, you know, they picked some big, grabbed a bunch of marijuana from some field somewhere. Mm. And the caption I put on it, somebody said this to me. The caption was, America is so wealthy, the government sends men to pick your weeds. And I was thinking, like, if you didn't know what pot was and you lived in some country that didn't have a lot of money and you saw that picture, you'd think that's what it was. Like, America is so rich, they can afford to send the government to pick your weeds.
That's hilarious. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe people in North Korea would think that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a friend that I went to college with who lives in China and married a Chinese girl there and lives there. Uh-huh. And marijuana is a lot more illegal in China than it is here, but the cops don't know what it is. He has walked by cops smoking a joint and they just think it's like a cheap Russian cigarette or something. <You
know? laughs> That's funny. So this guy Fairbanks, he said he spoke of his time eliminating backcountry marijuana grows in the Utah mountains.
Thank you for your service. I feel safer, officer. I salute you.
Specifically, the environmental costs associated with a large-scale weed cultivation on public land.
Now that is a thing. That is a thing. I mean, it does. Do they explain what it does? The problems.
The problems, it says, personally, I've seen entire mountainsides subjected to pesticides, harmful chemicals, deforestation, and erosion. He said,
that's an issue, but that's only an issue because marijuana is illegal, so people go grow it on public land in the middle of nowhere, whereas if it were legal, farmers would grow it using modern farming techniques. And
on their own land.
Yeah, on their own land. And then also, you know, you have to also think like, this is the government saying these people ruin, like, think about what the government does. Like, the U.S. government goes to other countries and sprays pesticides on marijuana and coca fields and destroys dirt farmers living, you know, to eradicate drugs in this country. It doesn't work.
Right.
It poisons the farmers. It poisons their crop. Mm-hmm. It bankrupts the poorest of the poor.
Yeah.
And the people are so poor, they have to just package it up and sell it anyway and poison people with it.
Right. So, so are you saying that they spray pesticides or herbicides?
Oh, everything. Yeah. Like,
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying the government are hypocrites and they denature everything. They remove nature from nature. That's what governments do. I'm saying the guy's a hypocrite. He's saying, look what these pot farmers do to our gorgeous public land. First of all, if it were legal, it wouldn't be done on public land. Secondly, governments destroy environments all over the world everywhere at a whim and send you the bill. So go on.
Right. Yeah.
Think of the bun buns.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't use, DMT for mosquitoes?
DDT.
Or something like that? DDT, that's right. Yeah, what is DMT?
DMT is a hallucinogen. It lasts about 45 minutes.
Oh, really? Is that it?
Yeah, they used to call it the businessman's lunch.
Interesting. Yeah, that's something I've never done. But DDT, yeah, it's like... saves a lot of lives, but
I've heard the pros and cons of that one.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say you're right because there's pros and cons of that, but I don't want to back a conspiracy without giving it an hour of both sides of it.
Right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends, and yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Redemption in the third act. Now with 50% more bunnies.
This is hilarious, this article. Okay, so this guy Fairbanks, he goes on to say that at some illegal marijuana grow sites, he saw rabbits that had cultivated a taste for the marijuana. He actually said for the marijuana. He
continued. What's up, Doc? What's up, Doc?
He continued, one of them refused to leave us, and we took all the marijuana around him, but his natural instincts to run were somehow gone.
Oh, no. They've become acclimated to humans. You know, I'm not – he makes it sound like it's a scary thing. I'm not scared of stone bunnies that won't run away from people. I'd kind of be scared of deer, that deer cultivate a taste for cultivated marijuana, and deer can –
because they can be really aggressive.
Deer can mess you up. Yeah, bunnies can't do much to you.
Yeah. It talks a little bit about the harmful environmental consequences, but I mean, it's just the funniest thing is talking about
the bunniest thing.
You know, the funniest thing is talking about how they seem to really enjoy it. And it says some wild animals apparently do develop a taste for bud. And yes, best to keep it away from your pets. But I don't know that the occasional high rabbit constitutes grounds for keeping marijuana prohibition in place any more than drunk squirrels are an argument for outlawing alcohol. This is actually hyperlinked. I'm interested to read about drunk squirrels. And let's not even get started on the nationwide epidemic of catnip abuse. There was a time not too long ago when drug warriors terrified a nation with images of the devil's weed and reefer madness. Now it seems that enforces a marijuana law conjuring up a stoned bunny. This ends well. Not scary enough for the Utah Senate, it seems. The panel approved the bill, and this is a medical marijuana bill, and sent it to the full Senate where it will be debated this week. So it's making movement in Utah government. So, but I think that I just think it's really hilarious.
Yeah.
He calls it the marijuana. They cultivated a taste for the marijuana.
The Utes will be smoking the pots if we do this. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so my bunny is sitting up here listening and munching her hay and just having a good old time. She knows nothing of these things, these dangerous drugs all around her.
That the government has to protect her from.
Right. She's clueless.
Isn't North Carolina one of those states where there is a lot of marijuana grown on public lands?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
I really don't.
I think it's people that used to be moonshiners back in the day, same families.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what prohibition does.
Yeah. Prohibition makes drugs more available, stronger, and more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
more dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could not get, you know, until... I mean, heroin and speed were illegal, you know, in the 60s, but in the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, for a long time. But when Reagan ramped up the war on drugs, suddenly, like, speed and heroin and coke became more available. Because there was more enforcement and more arrests, which drove up the price. And it made smugglers switch over from smuggling marijuana, which was the main thing that was brought in small planes back then, because there was a huge market for it before there was a huge market for speed and coke and heroin. And they started just bringing in, the powder drugs instead, because they're like a lot more profit per pound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can make them in really small packages and stuff like that.
So the war on drugs spreads drugs.
Yeah,
that's the economics of it. And, you know, kind of like the war on terror spreads and creates terror, you know, because for every wedding party they blow up with a drone and kill 50 people to get one possible bad guy, that's 50 families or, you know, 20 families that all vow vengeance on whoever they think did it. You know, the great Satan that they think did it. People that never would have taken up arms before. So everything governments do has the opposite effect of what they say they're doing. That's the moral of the story, boys and girls, ladies and gents.
Yeah. Stoned bunnies. That's what you get.
Yeah. It's a growing concern, and the government thinks they need to do something about it. You pay these people's salary. Remember that.
Ugh, gosh.
And they have free health care. You got to pay for yours.
You sure do. And it's expensive, too.
Yep. $1,000 a pill. All right, it's been a good show, Diana.
The bunnies are having a good time, though.
The bunnies are having a great time.
Yeah.
It's been a good show, Diana. Thank you for your service.
It has. Thank you, Michael.
Worms.
Worms.